Is Ireland going all Trumpian? Will China make a deal with the United States? How soon will robotic surgeons take over medicine? Why was Tim Walz chosen as the Democratic VP candidate, according to him? The answers to all of these questions and a whole lot more on today's Random Thoughts. Hello and welcome to episode number 320 of the Random Thoughts podcast. That is spelled R-A-N-D-U-M-B, thoughts.com online. I am your host, Darren O'Neill, and a lot going on in the news as Donald Trump hits 100 days. Can you believe it's only been 100 days of the Trump presidency? A lot of things getting done. The stock market still kind of playing the yo-yo game, but we're not really going to know anything for some time. And I know nobody wants to hear that. Everybody wants to, that instant gratification. You want that instant information. And in this case, it's probably going to be at a minimum of 3 to 4 weeks. It could be up to 5 or 6 months to figure out if Donald Trump knows what he's doing. I think there's a better than average chance, a better than 50% chance that things are going to work out the way that he wants them to, which should be good for everybody in the United States. Now, you wouldn't know that if you're listening to the leftist media, which is pretty much everything at this point, except for Fox News, and they're questionable as well. News Nation pretending to try to straddle that line. They're trying to be the news organization that leaves the bias at the door. And that'd be a great tagline. If anybody wants to use that, pay me. But even News Nation and some of the things online that I've read, there is a bias in their reporting that still seems to push towards the leftist ideology, which is probably why a lot of people are listening to podcasts. So thank you for that. And they're looking for places to get information that they can believe in, that they can trust, for people to break down things in a way that they can understand. And I hope that is why you're listening to this show. And if it is, tell a friend or 100 about the show, because there's a lot of things going on, whether it's tariffs or just the really, really bad reporting, that the straight out lies that are easily proven to be lies, debunked, as the kids like to say. That kind of stuff is important for you to understand what's going on and to make decisions for you and your family that make sense. Did the grocery shopping today for the first time. Eggs, finally, down here to $9.19 for 2 dozen. Always buy them in the 2 dozen packs because they used to be really cheap. I know I'm a broken record, but I recently pulled up a receipt from my grocery store because they store them all so they know you better, so they can push more product on you. I get it. But I went back to a July of 2023 receipt, and the 2 dozen eggs at that point were on sale for $2.39. Yeah, for 2 dozen. So forgive me if I don't think the $9.19 is a great price. Would like to see that get back down. But people don't understand. What is it? Is it inflation? Is it the bird flu? which was seemingly a big part of this, where the Biden administration had a lot of poultry destroyed, from what I understand. But there are always a variety of factors that will have an effect on things, and you have to understand all of them. For the people that are like, oh no, anti-tariff, oh my God, it's going to hurt everybody, Trump's an idiot. Those are the outlets and the individuals that will never acknowledge just how badly the United States has been treated in global trade for decades. How the United States buys everybody's products, but then there are huge tariffs if you want to get an American automobile into Germany or Japan. So for everybody that was a naysayer, it appears that there have been a lot of countries who have quickly stepped up and got into negotiations with the United States that will bring about, I think, again, 3 to 4 weeks, a lot more stability, where the stock market can kind of understand what's going on, because the stock market does not like it when they don't know what's going to happen. They want to believe they know what's going to happen in the future, and that's what the prices are all based on. So the Donald Trump tariff strategy is a big deal right now. Is it guaranteed to work? No. Is it guaranteed to fail? No. So if you're listening to either the people on the left or the people on the right, where the people on the left are telling you, oh, this is horrible, the economy's going to crash, we're going to go into a recession, Trump's an idiot, we're doomed, they have no idea what they're talking about. But also the people on the right that are going to tell you, 100% Donald Trump's doing the right thing, this is going to make the country greater and richer than ever before, we don't know that yet. I mean, I hope that's true, but we do not know that as a fact at this point. And anybody telling you that they know is just throwing propaganda at you. And that really doesn't help anybody. Well, it helps the people that are spewing the propaganda, because they're making money by spewing the propaganda. But the United States is not the only country in the world, believe it or not, for those of us in the United States. I know that's hard to believe, but there is a big immigration issue going on around the world. And one of the few places that seems to be fighting back, as the United States is now, is the country of Ireland. This past weekend, they had a march in Dublin against the mass migration policies in Ireland, which right now are kind of like the Biden policies. I'll let everybody in, except Ireland is a very small place. Ireland has a very strong culture. And this to me is something that is rarely discussed, which is, do people not have a right to protect their way of life, their culture? If you're in a small country like Ireland, and all of a sudden you bring in tons of migrants who are not Irish, do not care about any of the Irish history, do not speak the same language, don't like the same foods, don't follow the same religions, well, is that fair to the people that were just living their lives? The world is a pretty big place, and there's a lot of places you can live, which the United States, that is one of the greatest things about the United States, is that maybe you're a California person, maybe you're a total loon that wants to pay 80% of what you earn to the government, then you belong in California or New York, depending on how you like the weather, good or bad. If you like it bad, you go to New York, you like it good, you go to California, you pay way too much of the money that you bring into the government. And if you want to live in wide open spaces, you can go to Wyoming. There's other states where you could just be left alone, not see your neighbor, not have to worry about much of anything. There are some states with zero income tax, like Florida and others. You can choose to live based upon the culture that is there. And when people start coming in and changing the culture, people have an issue with it. That's why a lot of people in Texas do not like all the California people coming in, because they're all loons and they're like, we're leaving California because it's going right into the crapper. But then they come to Texas and they vote people like the California politicians in Texas. And then they wonder why things start going poorly there. But Ireland, if you know the history, has a population that will not sit down and take things. Overall, when push comes to shove, the Irish people have a tendency to be ready to fight. And in this case, it seems that a lot of people came out for this march in Dublin. Conor McGregor was there. And we remember he was at the White House over St. Patrick's Day. He's floating his run for a president of the Irish government, which would be very interesting. Very interesting to see, because I believe that he would win that one in a landslide, because I believe the government of Ireland, much like the government in the United States under Biden, really took a left turn and moved away even from the people that would have considered themselves more liberal. There are a lot of people in the United States who are liberals who are going, wait, you can't let all these people in. We can't pay for it. And 106,000 people showed up for this march in Ireland, in Dublin, which is a really big thing. Because again, Ireland is a pretty small place. Overall population of Ireland is about 5 million people. So if you get 106,000 of them to show up, and the pictures showed the streets just filled, that is a decent amount of the population showing up and saying, hey, we are tired of what is going on. We're tired of people coming into our country, into our neighborhoods, and not respecting the way of life that the people have there. Now, Conor McGregor, like I said, presidential bid, going to be very interesting. He is a very polarizing character. You could tell already the leftists hate him. And he said, this is a historic day in Ireland and the biggest since 1916, referring to the anniversary of the Easter Rising against British rule. Quote, over 100 years ago, our brave men and women made the ultimate sacrifice so that we could live free today. So let us remind ourselves why we are here and also why we are not here. We are not here to build hatred amongst each other. We are not here to sow division. We are here to commemorate the valiant heroes who went before us. We honor their spirit. We honor their fight. End quote. I mean, of course, the left is going to say, oh, you're all just racist, which is what they try here. When people are coming in and overwhelming the system, that they cannot feed themselves, they cannot take care of themselves, and then fall into the safety net so everybody in the country has to pay for that. And the price is just too darn high. Unfortunately, it'd be great in a utopia if everybody could just magically have everything they need. But that's not true. And in this case, in Ireland, it's very easy to overwhelm such a small country. And it will be interesting to watch how this progresses. Because, of course, the people on the left are going to tell you, oh, it's just a bunch of white Irish racists. Like, no. These are people that have a way of life that want to continue living the way that they always have. There has to be a better solution than well, we have to let these people in who want to do things differently. It's like, no, go find someplace else to live. Go someplace where people want to live the way that you do. That's, again, why the United States works. But if you don't see the Trumpian influence on Ireland, which, you know, again, this is why the leftists are going to hate it. There were some of the protesters carrying signs that read Irish Lives Matter. Oh, man, that just is so racist. Some signs saying Ireland is full, which seems accurate. And yes. And I've already looked. Amazon has these and I need to order one. There are green hats that say Make Ireland Great Again. I want one of those hats. The police, the Garda in Ireland, they showed up, of course, had an increased presence. But I think out of those 106,000 people, there was a handful, like two or three citations that were given. I don't believe anybody was arrested. This is not like a BLM march. There was no violence. Believe it or not, you can have a march of 106,000 people without violence. Congratulations, Ireland, for proving that to the people here in the United States. No major incidents. No violence. No bricks thrown through windows. No cars lit on fire. No Cybertrucks lit. Well, they maybe do that on their own. Sorry, Elon. But of course, the counter-protesters were the usual. This is just like the United States. The counter-protesters organized by United Against Racism, because again, protecting your traditions is racist to these folks. And included the opposition parties, Sinn Féin, Labour, People Before Profit, and Social Democrats, and of course, the Socialist Party and the Green Party were the ones that were standing against this. But I predicted this in the past. I don't remember which episode of the Random Thoughts podcast it was on, but I told you, Ireland is not going to sit back and not take action when things got to that breaking point. And I think we are starting to see that. We certainly are seeing that here in the United States, where while some of the polling is showing Trump's numbers going down, that appears to be based strictly on what's going on Wall Street right now. Because when you look at the questions when they were specifically posed, do you like what's going on with the getting rid of the illegal aliens people? Yes. They're still backing that. And the people on the left are going to lie to you about that. But this is what the United States is doing. The border is now closed. I think they said there was just a handful in this first 100 days that were turned away at the border. Like 99% have been unable to get. It's down. Just massive numbers. And the people that are being deported going up, this is what Ireland is watching. And the people in Ireland are like, hey, that's what we need. We need to take our country back from the people that are coming in and making it worse. I understand you can't believe everything you see on the internet. But I saw a video, and I don't know if it's true or not. I believe it is. It seemed to be a legitimate source. Somebody driving up and down the streets in London, and it looked like a garbage dump. People all over the streets. And there is a big difference in being, hey, we're a welcoming country. For Ireland, the amount of people that they could bring in without being overwhelmed, they're long past that. Long past that. And when did we lose the concept that if somebody was going to immigrate into another country, that they tried to be a part of that country, that they wanted to be a part of the traditions, they wanted to live the way the people live there? That's why they're showing up. This concept is that you're going to move in and change the way of life. Well, that's no longer immigration. That is an invasion. It's like having 20 people show up at your door and say, hey, we're living in your house now. Would you let them do it? I'm just curious, because even for the liberals out there, and I'm sure there's a few of you, or if you have liberal friends, ask them that question. 20 Venezuelan gang members show up at your door and they're just like, hey, we're going to live here now. You're like, okay, come right on in. I'll make you breakfast. I don't think so. And this is what is going on. This is where the sanity needs to return. People have to just start using logic. I know that's so hard. But that is what we need. Also, something I had predicted here with this tariff madness from Just the News, a source that you can actually trust, justthenews.com. China exports drop amid tariff fight with the United States. This is not a surprise. Knew this was going to happen. Are the numbers exactly right? Don't know, because it's coming out of China. This from an article by Natalia Middlestad says China's exports have dropped amid its tariff fight with the United States, resulting in a decrease in production at the country's factory. A gauge of new export orders decreased this month to its lowest since 2022, and overall manufacturing activity is at its weakest that it's been in more than a year. This, according to China's National Bureau of Statistics surveys released on Wednesday and reported by the Wall Street Journal. So this shows you that we have kind of an assured economic destruction for both the United States and China if a deal is not reached, which I know there could be a lot of illogic when it comes to Xi in China and Trump in the United States. But the bottom line is both of them seem to care about their legacy. So no matter the blustering words that either are saying at this point, China needs the United States to buy their goods, and the United States really relies upon a lot of the things coming out of China. I think the United States can move away from that fairly quickly. It doesn't take that long. I mean, it's probably 2 years to 4 years to really move production facilities and get them ramped up for a wide variety of things to make way more things within the United States. But right now, we don't have that kind of time. We don't have the ability, especially when it comes to things like pharmaceuticals and that, where we can say, hey, no, we don't need you at all. With that said, China is not going to be able to make up the losses if the trade war with the United States continues long term. The United States is like 33% or so, I know the magic number, right around there, of what China sells overall, their exports overall. The United States is about a third of them, so that's a pretty big customer. And this would lead me again, logic, but I can't guarantee it. Anybody telling you on either side that they can guarantee it, just straight out lying to you. If I had to bet on it, I would bet that it is going to be taken care of fairly quickly. I think Donald Trump pulled a big move here, which could have blown up in his face. Donald Trump went out there to the whole world at the same time, and the whole world could have just said, nope, no thank you, and Donald Trump would have had a big problem. But a lot of countries are playing ball, and because of that, China will eventually fall into line. And like always happens in cases like these, the president here will tell you that he got the better end of the deal, and the president there will tell his people he got the better end. The reality will be there will be compromise and the United States will have a better deal than they had, which is really, I think, all that Trump is looking for. I don't think he's looking for everything at once. And all I will say is I wouldn't want to play poker with Donald Trump because he seems pretty good at what he is doing when he is negotiating. Another story, Elon Musk is predicting that robots will outshine even the best human surgeons within 5 years. This as a surgical robot put an implant in a patient with ALS and gave him some ability to manipulate a computer with his thoughts. From the Neuralink website, it says, quote, "The threads of our implants are so fine that they can't be inserted by the human hand. Our surgical robot has been designed to reliably and efficiently insert these threads exactly where they need to be," end quote. Which, very interesting things going on. I've talked in the past about the bionic eyes and things like that that they are working on. And the concept that the machines will be better than an average surgeon within 2 to 3 years, and even the best surgeons within 5 years. I don't doubt that, because we have the ability now, kind of like with the self-driving cars, surgery is not all that much different. You can train it on what it should be looking for when you find it and where it's going to be in the body and a variety of things that it might run into that it is not expecting. And the ability for the machines, which there are already machines in surgeries. I think most people are aware of this, but when I got my gallbladder out, the machine they used was called a Da Vinci machine, which means it was robot-assisted surgery. So yeah, there's a surgeon, but they only make a couple of small incisions, and they use cameras and robotics to do pretty much everything. So the question just becomes, when do we move from robotic-assisted surgery into straight robotic surgeries? And I know a lot of people will be freaked out by that, but a lot of people used to be freaked out and maybe still are, I'm sure, getting into a vehicle where there's no human driver. This is fairly similar, because the question will be, do you believe that a machine or a person has a greater chance of making an error? And I'm pretty sure, I don't have the proof in front of me, but I'm pretty sure they're using all of these assisted surgeries, the robots like the Da Vinci machine that they used on me when my gallbladder came out. I'm pretty sure they're training something with all of these so the AI or whatever you want to call it can have that as record of how the surgery goes, what it's supposed to do, what it's not supposed to do, what the pitfalls are. You know, surgeons, sometimes they hit a vein or they cut into something they're not supposed to. Well, a machine, once you've gone through enough of these training situations, I don't find it that hard to believe that a machine will be more accurate. And I don't know how long it's going to take where we don't have a surgeon standing by, somebody trained that is watching this. And this is, we're very lucky, because the people that have the surgeon still there, way better than 10 or 20 years once this starts, then there's going to be no need to actually train surgeons. So if you can't get to a machine, pretty much you're going to die. But it'll be interesting to see how that all works out. But the robotic surgeons could be way more precise, I think, than a human surgeon. Now, right now, most surgeries that we have, that are commonplace, probably not going to make that big of a difference. But once we start moving into things, brain surgery, eye surgeries, things where you need much more accuracy in exactly what you're doing, I think that Elon is correct that the robotics are going to make it much more likely to be able to do things that we haven't even thought of at this point. And it will also make it much easier for these horrible rich nations like the United States and the EU to be able to send these machines down into parts of the world where maybe it's hard to get reliable surgeons and have a way for people to get the surgeries that they need without needing a ton of manpower to do it. So I think the robots can do it. I think that's good. I don't think this is something to be afraid of, but you might disagree. Let me know if you do. And lastly, a Fox News story. Tim Walz says Kamala Harris picked him to be the vice presidential candidate to, quote, code talk to white guys, end quote. Yeah, this is more proof, I think, of just how racist and racially motivated the Democrats are. Martin Luther King would be rolling over in his grave because we are not beyond seeing past. We are not seeing past the color of people's skins. That's all we are focusing on if you're a Democrat. Seems to be one of the biggest things that overall is separating people that call themselves Democrats and people that call themselves Republicans, or the people that are recalling themselves Democrats think they are holier than thou because they see nothing but race. And the people on the Republican side believe the same thing because they don't see race. They think we should be beyond that. The article says former vice presidential nominee, yeah, tampon Timmy Walz from Minnesota. He was on a listening tour. Yeah, because that's better than him doing a talking tour. That's totally true. He was at the Harvard Kennedy School Forum on Monday night. And he said, I don't know if he was questioned or whatnot. They said that he revealed that Kamala Harris chose him in part because, quote, I could code talk to the white guys watching football, fixing their truck, and put them at ease. And he described himself as the, quote, permission structure, end quote, for white men from rural America to vote for Democrats. So, I mean, just let that kind of sink in for a minute. They gave the guy the job strictly because he's a white guy. That seems very racist. They didn't pick the best vice presidential candidate they could. No. They picked him because we need somebody to talk to the white guys and make it feel the white, other white guys, I guess, feel safe for voting for Kamala Harris. I mean, forgetting the fact that she was a bumbling moron that didn't have any vision for the country beyond Donald Trump the Nazi. Let's forget about that and the word salad. But they hired this guy strictly because he was a white guy who could talk to other white guys, which I guess that means they are admitting that Kamala Harris couldn't talk to white guys. Although I'm not really sure she could talk to anybody at all, which is probably why she doesn't have a podcast. Michelle Obama does, and she is going on and on and on about how deep deporting people and how this whole new immigration system under Donald Trump is so racist. Did somebody ever tell Michelle Obama, maybe somebody should, that her husband was known as the deporter in chief? And I looked at the stats. Donald Trump still has at least 3,000 people to deport until he catches Barack Obama. Do I think he'll get there? Probably. But he is still a long ways away. So how hypocritical, Ms. Obama? Because I don't think she's a moron. I don't think she's ignorant. I think she's well aware of the numbers. How many people her husband deported, but no, nobody will listen to that because they're all dummies. We'll just tell them what we want them to hear and not expect them to have any knowledge of the past, not thinking they're going to have any ability to look up the information. And you don't even have to. If you listen to the Random Thoughts podcast, I give you the information so you don't have to look it up. What is that worth to you? That's the question. Because this is a value for value podcast. The podcasts go out there. They're not behind a paywall. You get to decide how much value you've gotten out of the show and then go to Random Thoughts, R-A-N-D-U-M-B, thoughts.com/donate. Or you can boost us. You can send us some Satoshis on a podcasting 2.0 app. And there's other ways. Just go to randomthoughts.com/donate. But as always, got two people to thank for today's show. It seems like it's always the same two. It should just be Random Thoughts, sponsored by Dale Jr. and Dame Slamy. And you two are very, very, very much appreciated. For everybody else out there, if you're listening to the show, come on, get a podcasting 2.0 app and stream a few Satoshis while listening. Or just to prove you're out there, just do a $1 PayPal donation. Cover the fees, not cover the fees. I just want to know you're out there every now and then. But Dale Jr. today coming in with 22,400 Satoshis, which equals $21.06. And he says, that last episode streaming amount could not have been correct. Noticed a glitch here and there with Fountain and probably need to make sure it is the current version. Here are some sats to make it up. Well, thank you, Dale Jr. It is very much appreciated. And that is with this new technology. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. You have to stay on top of it, which is why a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to deal with it. But hey, there's PayPal. There are P.O. box addresses. But Dale Jr., I hear your name on a lot of podcasts, supporting a lot of shows. So thank you from the bottom of my heart and for every other podcaster out there, not only for listening, but taking part in the value for value structure and letting the shows know you're out there. That is a big deal. And Dame Slamy, I always know you're out there. It is very much appreciated. She came in with 5922 Satoshis or $5.57. You can tell by those numbers that the Bitcoin is going back up as the stock market. It goes up, it goes down. But thank you, Dame Slamy. She sent in a message that just said boost. And yeah, she's telling you, you're listening, you. Dame Slamy says boost. If you don't, you do not want to make Dame Slamy mad. She is armed. She is dangerous. And she probably knows where you are right now. With that said, thank you, Dame Slamy. Thank you, Dale Jr., for supporting this show. For everybody out there who wants to support the show and financially just can't do so right now, I get it. Eggs are still expensive. Tell a friend about the show. Post about it on social media, like folks like No Beret, Christopher Battles, and others who are always like, listen to Random Thoughts. That all helps this little show grow, and it is all very much appreciated. With that said, I plan on being back again next week on Wednesday to do another episode. But until then, I am Darren O'Neill. Thanks for listening. Oh yeah, make Ireland great again.